So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Have you heard the story about this tanker truck that overturned in Pakistan the other day? It didn't make any sense to me. There were 140 people were killed. And I was trying to figure out how an overturned tanker could take out 140 people. You know, is this like some kind of a suicide run where the guy mowed through a crowd of people in a tanker truck? No, it turns out that he wrecked this thing, rolled it over, it was laying on its side, and it was leaking fuel. And all the people from nearby came over with all sorts of containers trying to steal the fuel as it was leaking out of the tank. It caught on fire and exploded and took 140 of them with it. So this is what you get for trying to steal, okay? It kind of did my heart good. Yeah, this is Pakistan, so these are all Muslims. So they kind of got a taste of their own medicine from having a truck explode in their presence. That's what I refer to as karma. Now, there's another story. It's actually kind of funny. This one is out of Australia. Now, if you've ever watched CSI Las Vegas, there was an episode where an eagle mistook a bald guy sitting in the desert, mistook his head for a rock, and the eagle dropped a turtle on his head to split the shell open and split the guy's skull open and killed him instead. And there's a very similar story, kind of in reverse, out of Australia. Now, apparently, this guy was on one of the nude beaches down there. I don't think they named it. They just said it was a very famous nude beach. But if you've ever been to a nude beach, folks, there are certain parts of your body that generally don't get exposed to the sunlight, and they burn very easily. And I can tell you from personal experience getting a burn down there and then having to put on a pair of tight jeans and sit in a plane seat for 5.5 hours on your flight home is extremely uncomfortable. So this guy apparently was trying to avoid that by using excess sunscreen. And I guess he left a little too much on down there in a particular reason. And it, well, anyway, there was a sea eagle flying around. And apparently, sea eagles like turtle eggs. It's kind of a delicacy. And, yeah, George is picking up on it. You got it. This eagle mistook his family jewels for a pair of delicious turtle eggs and came in for the swoop and tried to fly away with them. They said the man was slightly injured, so apparently he didn't lose them. But, you know, sometimes, folks, you just got to pay attention to what you're doing. Now, while we're on the subject of stories, last week, or maybe the week before, there was a Starbucks in Charlotte, North Carolina, who, I'm not going to say discriminated against, but certainly mocked a customer who was wearing a Donald Trump t-shirt. And she ordered her coffee. First of all, why a Republican would go to Starbucks to begin with, I have no idea. $7 for a cup of flavored hot water is just absolutely stupid. But anyway, this woman was in there. She was obviously a Republican, a big Trump supporter, wearing a Trump t-shirt. And she was mocked for her shirt. And when she got her coffee, instead of having her name written on it, it said, "Build a wall." Well, this made headlines in the news locally. I know it was mentioned briefly nationally. Didn't, of course, make huge headlines because it was against a Republican and not against a liberal. But apparently, the other day, the Republican Party of Mecklenburg County staged a sit-in protest at this Charbucks location. All of them wearing Trump t-shirts. They all walked in, sat down, and filled the place up. And then they all ordered their coffee, and the name for each order was under Trump. Now, the employees didn't do anything this time. They were well outnumbered, and they certainly didn't dare do anything against 40 people. But they kind of got an idea of how this woman felt when she was completely outnumbered by all these libtards giving her grief for wearing her Trump t-shirt. Now, I still have a Trump sticker on the back of my car. I haven't gotten any issues from it. Nobody's flipped me off or vandalized my car or anything like that. But it's a pretty sad state of affairs when you can't even wear a t-shirt to show support for your president without being mocked by the left. So this is nice to see this happen in return, to see the Republicans actually show up in solidarity and stand together for what this woman had gone through. Don't know what exactly is going to happen with corporate on this. There's no information on whether the employee was fired, probably not, or even chastised, doesn't sound like it, and no report yet on whether they've even bothered to get in touch with this woman and apologize for the way that their employees treated a paying customer. But really, it's about time that these progressives, these liberals, get a taste of their own medicine. They can dish it out, but they can't take it. They want you to have a thick skin, but theirs is thinner than onion skin. And when you do something back, they don't know how to handle it. They don't do it very well. And then they start screaming and yelling that they're being picked on when it's the exact thing that they've been doing to the other side for years. But now, since Trump has been elected, and you've discussed this before, people's opinions are changing, and they're not as afraid to stand up for themselves in public anymore. That is, wearing the t-shirts, displaying the bumper sticker, standing up for themselves, standing up for their rights, talking back to these people. Now, you know, a couple weeks ago, I stopped into a fast food joint for breakfast. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but I stop in there quite frequently because what I like about this place is that they start cooking their fries when they open at 5 in the morning. And you can get a chicken sandwich and fries. Basically, you can get lunch at 5 in the morning, which I absolutely love. I can't stand fast food breakfast. It's greasy, it's full of black pepper, it gives me heartburn and indigestion, and it just tastes nasty. And, you know, say I'm driving on the road. You know, I've been up since 2, 3 in the morning. You know, about 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm hungry. I want something substantial like a Whopper or a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder or something like that. So it's great to be able to stop into this place and get a lunch combo at 5:30 in the morning. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I stopped into one in particular. I usually stop in this particular location about once a week. And they had a cook back there, a negress, that was probably as big around as she was tall. And boy, did she have an attitude. She wasn't listening to what everybody was telling her. And she got into it with the guy who had taken my order. And being pissed off at him, she threw my sandwich. And, you know, they got a little, I'm going to call it a chute or a slide, where you put your orders in the fast food place, and then they come by and they pick them up. Well, she threw it, and it hit that, and it bounced. The lid popped open, and the whole sandwich came within a half an inch of bouncing up over the little retainer fence at the bottom. And I've dealt with fast food and their attitude for a long time. These are the people who want $15 an hour. Well, she's a perfectly good example of why they don't deserve it. Throw my food around. So the guy went, he picked it up, and I looked at him. I said, if she ever does that again, I'm going to punch her right in the face. He looked at me. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, she was pissed at you, and she took it out of my food. She threw my sandwich. You see how the lid is opened up there? It almost bounced on the floor. Well, when I went back this past week, she was no longer employed there. Now, if I hadn't said anything, chances are she'd still be there. Maybe I wasn't the first person that said something, but somebody being that angry and just standing up and just saying, look, don't throw my food around, don't act this way, sometimes that's what it takes. All you got to do is stand up for yourself. If you believe in something, don't be afraid to stand up for your values. I know when I was younger, I was, and you'd never know it to listen to me now, but I was extremely insecure when I was younger, especially when I was a child. I was very introverted and extremely shy, and I really didn't like going out in public. I liked to stay home and read. I was an avid bookworm, and I just hated being out in public, and I'd be afraid to say something. I was a little kid. I'd be standing in line, and an adult would step in front of me, not realizing I was standing in line, and I'd be afraid to just stand up for myself. Well, as I became an adult, and I started getting out into the real world, I realized that I had to kind of assimilate into the public world. You have to say things, you have to order in public when you want your food. You have to get out there, but I still really didn't like making a fuss, making a scene, because of the way I was raised when I was a child. My mother termed me with the turn the other cheek mentality, let somebody whack you before you hit them. As I got older, I've realized, stop the problem before it begins. This is exactly what we're dealing with these Muslims. We're letting them shoot us. We're letting them blow us up. We're letting them run us over. We're not taking a preemptive strike here. And this is what we need to do. We need to stop this crap before it even starts. We cannot let them try and implement Sharia law neighborhoods. We need to wipe it out. We need to go in and we need to remove whoever they have appointed to be in charge, where their law supersedes our law, and they need to be taken out. If they're going to come over here with the intention of attacking us, killing us, maiming us, destroying us, taking away our religions, we need to take them out first. We need to throw that first punch. And this is something that I have learned as an adult. You gotta stand up for yourself. You gotta open your mouth. And as my ex-wife used to say all the time, she was very fond of saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, which is exactly why the liberals have been so successful for so long in screaming and yelling, particularly the blacks, and getting their way. Most people don't agree with them and don't think the same way, but you get 15 or 20 of them screaming and yelling, sending mass emails across the country, making it look like there's thousands of them, when in reality there's only one or two dozen. And their squeaky wheel is getting the grease. And this is something we need to do for ourselves, folks. Just like these Republicans who made a stand against being discriminated at the Charbucks, they went in there and they pulled right out of the 1960s civil rights movement playbook. They staged a sit-in peaceful protest. And you know what? It worked. Charbucks was made aware of it. They were made aware that these patrons weren't going to put up with this crap. And I wonder how many of these patrons are ever going to go back to visit a Charbucks again. It was probably a one-time deal. But they made a point. And they got in the news. And this story is circulating. And people are starting to pick up on it and see that Republicans now are being very, very squeaky wheels. Gotta take a short break. Be back in a couple.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line. Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. That was the wrong button, George. I wanted bumper in around the world. You hit bionic sound effect. Try it again. Apologize for that. I found a story here which is really interesting. It's entitled How to Survive Nuclear War: Japan Warns Citizens About North Korea Attack. And this is really interesting, folks, because this whole thing harkens back to what the United States and Russia were doing, well, the Soviet Union, you know, during the 50s and the 60s, when they had all these threats of nuclear war and global nuclear war and global destruction. Well, the same thing is happening between North Korea and Japan, just on a smaller scale, but they're going through a lot of these same things. And I found this story really interesting. Now, apparently, I don't keep track of this, but so far, during 2017, North Korea has launched 10 missiles. And they are called, I'm not really sure how to pronounce this, Hwasong-12, not really sure of the dialect on that. You know, Korean is one language that I don't know any words in. So I'm assuming it's more like Chinese. So if it was a Japanese dialect, it would be a Hwasong. And if it was Chinese, it would be Hwasong. So since Korea is next to China, I'm going to call it a Hwasong 12 rocket. This thing reached an altitude of more than 1,300 miles, folks. I mean, we are talking a significant penetration into outer space. 200 miles is a low Earth orbit. This went 6.5 times, almost 7 times that. That was significantly out in space. And it only landed 200 miles off the Japanese coast. So Japan, right now, it's preparing. Just, you know, in the event of a nuclear attack, because, hey, that fat little guy with the bad haircut has made it very clear that he intends to nuke the United States if he can. And he wants to do something to Japan because we have almost, I think, 50,000 troops stationed in Japan. So the Japanese government is now putting out publications on what the citizens should do to survive this. I mean, should something happen? So they're being told that they're if inside a building, they need to lay down on the floor, protect their heads, and stay away from the windows. Remember those old black and white movies from the 50s, folks? They're showing colored photographs here of kids out in the street, hunkered down, covered up. This is exactly the stuff that we went through, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And citizens apparently will be alerted via a public address system that right now they're using for alerting cities for earthquakes and tsunamis. So now they're going to have to add nuclear attack in there. Jeez. Detailed instructions on how to keep safe in the event of nuclear attack are also being aired by no less than 43 television stations, and 70 newspapers are also publishing details of ways that Japanese citizens can protect themselves between now and July. Now, that's very significant. I wonder why July. I mean, do they know something that we don't? I mean, is North Korea really ramping stuff up like that? I got to tell you, bomb shelter sales in Japan have increased, and right now there is a waiting list, and this is despite the fact that these things cost $250,000 and up. Now, I guess there's only one company over there making them, unlike here in America. It is, can I even attempt that? Oribe Seiki Seizakusho. I have no idea what that means. It's based in Kobe, and it has sold completely out of the 50 Swiss-made air purifiers that they had, and those are used, of course, you know, to keep radiation poisonous gas out, and they cost about $5,700 a pop. They're sold out. Now, Japan can protect itself from missiles using the Aegis anti-missile system, and that's currently used by Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force. But the downside here is that it can only intercept missiles flying at 650 miles. And that makes it useless against the Hwasong-12 because this thing, of course, is going up 1,300 miles, you know, plus the trajectory. So they're useless. I mean, that's what we need our Patriot missiles for. But interesting healing here, it says self-defense forces also are, I should have read ahead here before I started spouting off about the Patriot missiles. Apparently, they do have some, the Patriot PAC-3 surface-to-air missile, but that would be a struggle to intercept a missile traveling as quickly as the Hwasong-12. Now, this past April, Japan held evacuation drills in schools where they were teaching the students what to do. And this has been the first time since the Second World War that the government has taken the time to inform its citizens how to stay safe in the event of an attack. That's some serious stuff here, folks. Now, the Japanese Prime Minister has also announced that North Korea might send sarin tip missiles toward Japan. And, of course, that is an extremely lethal nerve agent. I mean, we've heard of sarin attacks in the subway systems before. And that was actually used in 1995 by a Japanese doomsday cult. And it killed 12 people, but it injured thousands more, and that was in Tokyo. So, I mean, this is it's nothing to sneeze at, folks. Right now, Japan is probably on target for something from North Korea, because, like I said, you know, there's about 50,000 American troops that are stationed there, most of which are in Okinawa, and there's a U.S. air base there. I'm not sure which one it is. But after the end of the Second World War, since Japan, you know, opened up on us, we kind of made the rules. And Japan was not permitted to create its own military. So that's why we have been there ever since. Now, they've gone from enemy to ally, but I was not aware that the Japan does not have a military. We are its military. We are its police force. This makes a whole lot more sense now. So that's some dangerous stuff there, folks. Any aggression toward Japan is basically an attack on us. And that ain't cool. Well, I got a few minutes left here. Not really long enough to get into another detailed story about current events. But during the break, George brought something up because I was talking about turtle eggs before Reference to that poor guy down under that almost lost his family jewels because a sea eagle had mistaken them for turtle eggs. George wanted me to tell you the story about the mouse eggs. This is a true story. In 2000, I was a newlywed, and my ex-wife, she was my wife at the time, and I went up to my sister's house in New England because she and her fiancé were engaged. They were going to be married, and I was actually doing a ceremony. They had a friend who was justice of the peace, so he did the vows for my brother-in-law, and I did the ones for my sister. And it was really nice to marry someone in the family. And I don't mean that in a West Virginia way. I mean to perform the actual marriage ceremony. Well, my sister lives in an old Victorian house in this little New England town. It was built, I think, in 1853 or 73. It's been around for a long time anyway. So any of you who have ever lived in an old house know that they're drafty and there are critters that get in the house because back then they didn't build them airtight like they do now. So my ex-wife and I were in a spare room. We were using an air mattress and we're laying there getting ready to go to bed and heard something rustling up and down inside the walls. Well, obviously it was mice. You know, old houses like that have mice. So she said, "What was that? What was that?" I said, "It's mice. Don't worry about it." So she looked at me. I guess she thought I was joking or something. I don't know. So a few minutes later, we heard it again. She said, "There it is again." I said, "I told you it's mice. Go to sleep." So she laid there for I don't know how long before she finally fell asleep. We didn't hear any more that night. But the following morning, we awoke and we're just sitting there kind of making pillow talk, you know, just reclined on our elbows, talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's a in the walls again. She said, "There it is again. What is that?" And I said, "I told you last night, it's mice. Don't worry about it." And she just totally freaked out. "Mice, oh my God, oh my God, we're going to get mouse eggs in our clothes and bring them home. I don't want to bring home any mouse eggs." And folks, I am dead serious. That is exactly what she said. Mouse eggs. You know, here in the South, we have a little saying for people who are slightly simple of mind or say absolutely stupid things or do stupid acts, and it sounds something like this: "Bless her heart." So yeah, that is my mouse eggs story. True story, folks. I swear to God, my ex-wife didn't want us bringing home any mouse eggs in our clothes. Well, that's going to bring about an end to this episode of Freedom Rings. I'll be back next week. And since pretty much the same old thing is happening day after day, week after week, month after month, now in the news, it's all getting old until something really bad happens, and in which case I will break in with George on the recorder. But I think next week I'm going to go back to the Off the Beaten Path series, and I believe the next state, correct me if I'm wrong, George, it's Nevada, right? Yeah, okay. So we'll be back next week talking about the desolate state of Nevada. So actually, that music going in the background right now, Desolation Canyon, falls right into play on what we'll be talking about next week. So until then, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, y'all take care. Out for now.